You ready? This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth about the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States and those who have always stood with Israel, know the historical past, but because of the media, the leftist, biased, slanted media and Islam, they do not get the truth in the United States about the greatness of the Jewish state. This country leads the way in technology, agriculture, and medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that is done around the world. It's amazing. So I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio, and they're the greatest. They are true patriots of the United States of America. I also want to give a brief thank you to those who have contributed, taken the time to send out Hershey's for Heroes. It's amazing. I'm gonna start off, Nadia. It is amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, in the United States, I hated going to the mail because I knew I was gonna get a bill. But today, I go, and what do I get in the mail? Slip for Hershey's for Heroes, and I go and pick up this box, and I tell you, folks are always wondering, what in the world is it? Is this guy getting all the time in the mail, this big box? And I want to say thank you. And Hershey's for Heroes is where Americans, Hershey's chocolate bars are not sold here in Israel, and Americans are sending, taking the time to order online, kosher Hershey's chocolate bars, getting them in the mail, very inexpensive. It's like $17 for 36 bars, you know? We'll go out and blow $40 or $50 in a night on a weekend, you know, and get a couple of hours and think nothing of it. And they order these chocolate bars, Nadia, and they take the time creative. I just got a box from U.S. soldiers.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
That's very moving.
I had a woman that took the time to put notes on these chocolate bars saying thank you for defending the Jewish state, and she wrapped each one in a little blue and pink bow.
I told you, Michael, that me and my partner, Yudit Katzover, we drive in Judea all the time, and in order to go from one Jewish community to another, we go and pass inside Arab villages and where the Israeli soldiers are located. And I always have in the back of my car drinks and waffles.
Nice.
I always stop so that the soldiers feel that they're being loved. And I'm very happy if you want to give us some Hershey bars.
We'd love it.
We will, instead of giving those waffles,
right,
we will give those Hershey bars with your little note. And I want to use this 1 second to say thank you to Michael Gonneau for always being with a big smile, for always being such an optimist, for always being with such enthusiasm that really catches on and gives us strength. So I think this is time to say thank you to Michael Gonneau also for constantly being at all those activities, safeguarding and protecting the right of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And I think that the listeners should hear that we love him here in Israel. We are very, we get enthusiasm from him. So thank you, Michael Gonneau.
Nadia, you know what? I'll tell you.
And don't erase this.
No. This is unedited. Listen, we'll team up. We're going to team up for Hershey's for Heroes. We're going to love those soldiers.
Yeah, I asked if it's kosher. You told me it's kosher. I'll double check because we only give kosher to food, of course.
Yes.
But you said that Hershey's kosher, and I think it is. And then there will be no problem.
We've got
a teamwork here.
On the Facebook page, it's an event page, we've got a link where folks can order kosher chocolate bars.
Okay, great.
And
well, next time when you will send us Hershey bars, I will take pictures of us being in.
Can we go together?
Definitely. Also.
I want to go with you.
Okay.
You know what? There's nothing I love more. I just did with Mark Reiser, Jean through Judea 2, Part 1, Zahava Englard, who was actually my first interview on Insight to Israel.
Okay.
So we did Jean through Judea 1.
Zahava is my friend. Mark is my friend. We're all friends.
Great people.
I will bring you all over Judea and where we drive all the day, every day, just because that's where we live.
Right.
And that's where our forefathers lived. And that's where our
The first Bible Belt.
Exactly. And because of the situation, unfortunately, or what is going on, and I guess we'll talk about that soon, there's army presence, And we always feel those are our boys, those are our husbands, those are our uncles and friends and neighbors. And they are being spat at by the Arabs. They're being attacked all the time. And therefore, two women, when we drive, we stop our car, not afraid, and we give them usually, as I told you, waffles and drinks. This time it will be Hershey's and drinks.
That's awesome. That sounds awesome. So, at the end of the day, you folks listening, I need a case. I need a case.
One case? Ten cases.
10 cases, three cases, four cases.
Yes.
You're absolutely.
What is one case?
Get your friends, your family, your civic group, your church, your synagogue. Take the time. You know,
anybody who sends a Hershey bar, I will send them our new Sovereignty Journal.
You know what? And we're going to talk about that. That's awesome stuff. And you'll be able to go to Insight to Israel on Facebook and see some pictures. Nadia, listen, I'm going to finish this up, but I think this is awesome. I had a girl in California, never met her, friends with her on Facebook, sent me this iPad for Christmas. I would never ask for anything like that. She said, "Gano, what do you want for Christmas? I love what you're doing in Israel. I love seeing Israel. I'll never get there." She's a single mother, two children. She goes, "I'm just reality, I'll never get there. God willing, I hope she does." But
she gave you this.
She said, "What do you want for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, I just need a few T-shirts and some deodorant. I'm happy with that." You know what I mean? This girl sends me an iPad, which I'm using now, which has been the most useful tool to me.
You know that, by the way, iPad, and which is, I assume, also a camera,
right? Yes.
Is now a kind of a weapon in our hands against
Absolutely. All
the leftists and against all the terrible things the Arabs are doing. So certainly sending us cameras and things like that help us to be able to witness the harm that is being done against our land.
Man.
So we have to thank this lady and others who help us in all those different ways. And thank you.
Blessed. So blessed. So
thank you for being such friends of Israel.
This girl, without even saying anything, sent a letter to Hershey's and said, "Can you send, this is the project that's being worked on," sent the links. And they came back and said no, which is okay. I'm glad they did, and I'll tell you why.
She wanted it for free because they need to be paid, obviously.
Well, they do a lot of charity work, donations, write-off. It's a tax write-off.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, I told her, I said, "You know what, Veronica," her name's Veronica Lake.
Okay.
And I call her VL. I said, "VL, I appreciate that. Thank you for taking that time. But you know what? I don't want the chocolate bars from Hershey. I want Americans to take the time."
Exactly.
It's the note.
No.
It's the note.
Correct.
It's the note. So, thank you for everyone that's contributed to Hershey's for Heroes. I love you. The soldiers love you. The change in their mentality. Nadia, let me say it one more time. I get excited about this, and we're gonna.
You
move
guys
forward.
Have to see him. This is radio, right? So they can't see you. He's all excited. It's great. It's great to see you like that, with full of enthusiasm.
I was on the bus, and you know, there's times. Look, you know, we all can't be living on top of the mountain all the time. But I'll tell you what. Sometimes it's a slow journey to the top. And I was on the bus the other day, and there was some events that came up, and I was headed to a base, and it got canceled. It was my fault because I was running late, and it was getting late. So I was on my way to Hebron, and so I had to turn around and come back. So here I am. I'm like, "You're stupid, Michael. You messed up. You got behind. You know, your meetings lasted too long." And I was sitting there, and I was throwing myself a little self-centered, secular-minded, I'm making my point, little pity party. But you know what? I saw some soldiers on the bus. And I went back there. You know what? Sometimes you got to step outside yourself.
We say in Hebrew, Zemishamayim, meaning it's from the heaven, from God. Whatever happens to us, no matter what, that is what happened. It must have been that you needed to be on that moment there.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I thought, you know what, Mike? You stop it. Stop it. Suck it up. Tighten up. Pull it in. You know,
he has tears in his eyes.
And I reached in that bag, and I went back to those soldiers, and I said, "Toda." And they're like, "Maze, what?"
Right. What is that?
They said, I said, "Thank you for your service to the country." Nadia, the look on their face when I said, "Americans love you. We stand with you."
And we know it's true. And we know it's true. But no matter what is going on now, we know that the majority of the American people are standing together with the majority
of the grassroots.
The grassroots. Definitely. The same with the Jews. With here. And if unfortunately, in both of our countries, the media, the leftist, extremist media, pro-Islam, pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli media, has taken over by us and by you.
Yeah.
And therefore, the only way we can talk is thanks thanks to programs like yours.
Right.
And that is why I feel so privileged to be able to talk to the grassroots people, those who know the truth, those who know what it means to be connected to your homeland, those who know what it means to be a patriot,
yeah.
those who know what it means to be loyal to your friends, and who know who also know what it means to say, this is my land.
Right, right. It's about principle.
Yes.
And one of those soldiers, I took a picture of him, one of them came back and said, thank you, you don't know, the fact that you did that made our day. To hear that thank you, you know. And it's not that the Israeli people were by any means, as you have shown, unthankful. But sometimes when things are expected, we go through the motions and, look, this country's under a lot of duress, a lot of stress. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to have been born and raised here, Nadia. I'm an American. I've never been through anything. I've never had to suffer anything. Anyway, so... anyway, Hershey's for Heroes, thank you. So, Nadia, I'm going to introduce you.
Okay.
This is Nadia Matar, and Nadia lives in, I switch it around on the media. They call it Israeli-occupied West Bank, you know, but I call it Muslim-occupied Judean Samaria.
I live in a Jewish community in Israel's biblical heartland. The community is called Efrat. And I am a very proud, in Hebrew it's called mitnachel. The incorrect translation is settler. The real translation for the word settler is inheritor of the land.
Wow.
Heir.
Wow.
And that is what we are. And I am a proud inheritor of the land of Israel that God gave us. I'm not afraid to say so. And belongs to the Jewish people. And high five.
Hey, Nadia, listen, when you just sitting here listening to you talk, I'm painting a picture in my head of Hashem reaching down with his finger, the Almighty, and he's tracing out the land as Abraham goes forth. You know what I mean?
I always tell people when I bring them to my house in Efrat, I said, you want to know why we're here? Because this is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the very first settlers of the Jewish people, walked. Yes, we are settlers, we settle the land, but this word settler in English has a bad translation because it's
right.
As if you came to somewhere that doesn't belong to you. In Hebrew, the word is mitnachel, which means coming back to nachalat avot. Nachala in Hebrew means your homeland. It is yours. And there's no stronger word than that word mitnachel. And again, biased people, leftist people translated as settlers to make us believe as if we don't belong here.
Right.
But as I told you, and I know that you will accept that for now, inheritors.
Right.
That is what we are,
right,
of this land, and continue. And we continue to be here.
You know, that, look, there's a reason why, folks, that I have Nadia on. When I first heard of Women in Green, I was thinking, I'm from the United States, I was thinking environmental wackos, okay, left-wing loons, you know what I mean? But it is anything but that. At the same time, it is caring for what God gave us as inheritors of the earth.
So our real name is Women for Israel's Tomorrow. We founded our organization, really my in-laws, Ruth and Michael Matar, who today are not so healthy, unfortunately, in 1993 when the Oslo agreements were signed. And we realized,
under Bill Clinton.
And we realized that they were going to, unfortunately, give away parts of our homeland to this mass murderer called Yasser Arafat. And it was in ambiance in the country as if they were trying to portray as if only crazy lunatics, men with long beards and religious men, were against giving away parts of our homeland, and all the so-called normal people would be willing to give away parts of our homeland. And my mother-in-law said, we need to make an organization to show that women who dress like in New York and Paris and Brussels and everywhere, normal looking women, housewives or career women, also say, this is our land. And that is how Women for Israel's Tomorrow, I'm going to say, it was founded. When we read the Oslo agreements and we understood that they want to shrink us back to the 1967 Green Line borders, I hope your listeners know why it's called a Green Line. I'll tell you, the pre-67, the pre-48 borders are called the Green Line because it used to, we'll get into that in a moment. And so we went as our first campaign on the Green Line. Our real name was Women for Israel's Tomorrow, with a very simple platform. This land is ours and we want this land to stay for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. But when we went on the green line with signs saying, wake up Israel, this is where they want to shrink us back to. And we wore those green hats because my mother-in-law always said that it's good to be like an organized group and right. if we all have the same hats. So that's when the media started calling us Women in Green. We are not an organization that was founded in reaction to Women in Black. We have nothing to do with them. They're a fringe element. They represent maybe 10 families in the entire country. We represent the majority of the Jewish people that say the land of Israel belongs to the people of Israel, and we have no right to give it away because it belongs to the past, present, and future generations.
Right, right. Wow. Wow. Now, there's more. Now, you summed it up what we're going to talk about in the second segment, because we want to know you. You're from where?
I'm originally from Belgium.
From Belgium. When did you come home to the Jewish state?
My mother says that when I was born, and one of the first words as a baby, we all say mommy and daddy, or Ima and Abba in Hebrew. My mother always says that my first word was Israel before
wow,
I said mommy.
Wow.
But I have it thanks to my parents who gave us this Zionistic education, even though they were not officially religious, but very Jewishly and very traditional. I went to a Jewish school, Jewish youth group, and I always felt that I belonged here, that as a Jew to be, it's, you can live as a Jew, abroad, and you are part of an individual life and maybe a community life, but if you want to be part of Jewish history and make Jewish history,
right.
you have to be in the land of the Jewish people, which is here and only here.
Absolutely.
And when I was 18, I took the first plane, and when I finished school, I got the blessing of my parents, and I came to Israel, and I thank God, and I thank God for that. I met this wonderful man called David Matar, pediatrician, and on our first date, we spoke about he's from Forest Hills in New York.
Okay.
He's an American, that's why I started
speaking. Why did he come back?
He came with his whole family. After the 67 war, his parents were very active in helping Israel, said, why are we just here in New York trying to help Israel? We have to come to Israel. And the entire family came on Aliyah
wow.
and came to Israel. And we met on our first date. We said, if we're already here, we also have to contribute here in Israel. And we
right.
don't want to simply go live in Tel Aviv, which is fine anywhere
right.
else. We wanted to live in a Jewish community over the Green Line, to be one of the fighters and the pioneers and the so-called settlers or inheritors, as we call it,
right.
In Efrat. Efrat was very small at the time, in 1986, if I'm not mistaken,
wow.
or 7.
Wow.
And
I was 16.
25 years ago. Yeah, 25 years. We have now 6 children, thank God.
Wow.
And our oldest one finished the army. My second boy is going to the army next month, in November, end of November. And I didn't expect to be an activist. I didn't expect to head together with now Yehudit Katzaver and then my mother-in-law, a large organization that fights for the right of the Jewish. It was so clear to me that that this is our home.
Absolutely.
And when the Rabin Peres government came into power and all of a sudden started talking about giving away parts of our homeland, my whole world got shattered.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I would be here and live here and educate my children here. I was never looking to become an activist or start doing what we did. From 1993 to 2005, all we did was demonstrating against the Oslo Agreement and in favor of our right to this land. After the expulsion from Gush Katif, we started doing other things. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Gush Katif is down on the Gaza.
Right, the Gaza Strip. I never expected that I would need to stand and demonstrate against my own government saying, why are you giving away parts of our homeland to terrorists?
Right.
But that's what happened, and I guess all governments need to be strengthened, and that's what we've been doing since then for 20... How much? From 93 till now? We're talking about 20, almost 21 years.
Wow.
Busy, basically being an activist, maybe that's not... being a proponent for the right of the Jewish people to its own land.
Wow, wow. Nadia, listen, you know, this is very important what you're saying, because, look, I lived in Jerusalem for 8 months. I've been here for over a year now. And now I'm down in Tel Aviv temporarily.
It's also Israel. It's okay.
Absolutely. But there's a different mentality.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely
people
a different
talk
mentality.
About two different people, the Jerusalem people, the
Absolutely.
Mountain people, and the Tel Aviv seashore people.
Right.
It's a different mentality.
It is. And I'm going to make a point that adds to what you're saying. I get a little adamant about this, especially when I see what people like yourself when I see what these soldiers go through, when I see what the media says, when I see what the government say. I mean, first of all, I'm offended that I'm not even Jewish, that every embassy is down in Tel Aviv. What a slap to the face. The only country in the world that does not have embassies in its capital. In its capital. That's insanity.
Because, as you know, the world doesn't accept the fact that Jerusalem is our capital.
And they're afraid, Nadia, I'm going to tell you, I speak for myself and insight to Israel only, but they're afraid of Islam. Or either they want to cater to it. Now, my point is, finally, this. I get tired of hearing folks say, we need American money. No, you don't. God is your provider. He has always. Now, he uses men, don't get me wrong. But when it dictates your policy, that's another
Definitely.
Story.
Caroline Glick wrote about it very clearly.
Great
we
lady.
Need to disconnect ourselves from this linkage and to make it very clear that we can stand on our own feet.
And the other thing is, it's offensive. I'm offended because I look at what the fight every day, yet the greatness of the Jewish state, when I hear, especially down in Tel Aviv, and especially from a lot of Americans, well, we need a diaspora to represent us. No, you don't. The more Jews that live in Israel that make, after 2,000 years, the more people that live here, the stronger the Israel.
Michael, if another million Jews had been coming here after the Six-Day War, we wouldn't have had any talks about the creation of a Palestinian state. There
right.
would have been no possibility. So obviously we need... And now everybody talks about we should give parts away of our land because of the demographic threat, which is, by the way, completely wrong.
That's insane.
And it's exactly the opposite. But if you're so worried about demographics, come on Aliyah. I agree with you.
Right.
We need another million Jews here. And all troubles will be dealt with.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing because a buddy of mine's making Aliyah. And Ari Ben-David, that's actually, he changed his name. But I told him, I said, man, he's like 60, and this guy's like a bull.
60 or 16?
He's 60.
60?
Yeah, and he's a nurse. And
he's a young man. Then.
Yeah, he is. And this guy's like, he's like a bull. And he said, Michael, what can I do? Is there some way I can help the military when I get there, like doing nursing work or something? He sees all the stuff on Facebook that I post right. with the soldiers. He's like, get me in, man. Hook me up.
Well, they have. You know that they have the service of volunteers for the IDF, and there's a lot of things that they do.
Sorrel.
Yeah, that's the name.
Sorrel.
Right?
And,
there's a few organizations, so he certainly can join.
Yeah, so I told him, I said, man, when you get here, I'm going to kiss the ground with you. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see folks make Aliyah. So now you're here. You have a husband, 6 children. Wow, that's a lot of love in that house.
Well, 6 isn't as little. I hope all my kids will have 8, a minimum of 8.
We need lots of Jewish babies.
We need a lot of. We should. The government of Israel should, really give some.
Incentives.
Incentives to have large Jewish families,
a tax
and not
credit.
to be ashamed of it. We have lost 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. We don't have to apologize for giving incentives to Jews to have. Have a lot of Jewish babies.
Families. It's amazing. So, now where do your parents live?
My father passed away, unfortunately, and my mother came on Aliyah 17 years ago.
Wow.
And she lives here. My sister lives here, and she copied me as she married an American. She became also religious, and she has 4 children.
Yeah,
she's
wow.
younger.
Wow. You know, what I've seen, my observation, and all the time I spend with such brave young men and women, I've seen it, and I've trained with 15 to 18 year olds. A buddy of mine owns an organization, a company that trains.
Where? Young, in Gush Etzion?
No, Expert
Caliber?
Security in Tel Aviv. Expert.
You should go to Caliber also. They
okay.
have a great, next to Efrat.
Yeah, you give me their information and I'll check them out.
Yeah.
And I've literally, as a 42-year-old man, trained with some 15 to 18-year-olds who know what they want to do in the military. My buddy, I'm crawling around the stand with 15-year-old boys, and he's like, what are you doing? He's taunting me. Michael, why are you 42? You should be on the beach, having a good time. But those are some of the bravest fighters because they have... Naughty, I was thinking about this on the way over here, and I'm gonna sometimes apologize. I don't mean to... I'm not being a conversation hog, but... I was thinking about this on the way over here, about your young people there in Efrat. They have something, they have principles.
Right.
They're raised with principles. Unfortunately, not every young man and woman today are in a lot of areas of the
not,
world.
Not even in Israel, I must say.
Can.
I must say that also, especially in Tel Aviv, I must say that...
It's more secular. And
I've said that. The more religious they are, I'm talking about the national religious, of course, not the ultra-Orthodox, but
right,
the more religious
absolutely
they are, the more that they get the education at school and at home that they need to, you know, today the world is all about me and me, Twitter, Facebook, all those things, but not about, it used to be, and that's what it should be, what do I get from my government, but can I give to my people and to my land?
Yes.
What can I give? What can I give of myself? How much shall I give to myself? And that is what we're trying to educate our children, that we are here put on this world not in order to get things for ourselves, but to use ourselves to donate to Litrom, to donate to the country, to your homeland, to your people. And unfortunately, the education in the secular system here in Israel, it has to be fixed in such a way that it should give them more Jewish education. I come from a non-religious background. My parents weren't religious, but they were very Jewish and very traditional. And they sent me to a religious school because my father always says, the fact that I don't keep all the commandments, he says, doesn't mean that you don't need to know what the commandments are.
Absolutely.
And when you go into
wow
a synagogue, you have to be able to open a prayer book and know where you have to read. That doesn't mean that afterwards you'll be the... And that is what's lacking in the secular system. And I hope that that will change. And meanwhile, the youth is amazing. The youth wants to donate, to give. When you see those kids who want to go to the army, and they fight to get in the fighting unit. My son, I hope I'm not making any trouble, but he has some operation, and he didn't want to tell the army because he was afraid that operation in his shoulder was going to make trouble.
Wow.
I'm talking about the one who's already finished.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, and he went into the fighting unit, etc. But those are boys who go to the to have special operations on their eyes so they can see better, to make sure that maybe they can be pilots and things like that. I mean, they're really doing
wow
everything to be able to become fighting soldiers. The best in order, because they understand that we have to be strong. And we're coming up now to my favorite holiday, Hanukkah, where the Maccabees, for the few fought amongst the many. And that is where we are. But it's very important that your listeners should understand that when we fight for our right to be here, we don't only fight for ourselves. We also fight for you guys, you the listeners,
right,
for your right to be here. Because the real fight here, and I've said it maybe on another of your radio show, the real struggle here in the Middle East is not about Nadia Matar living in a so-called settlement and so-called occupying land that, as if it doesn't belong to us. It is a much larger battle. It is a slogan that we see all over the Palestinian Authority. First the Saturday people, then the Sunday people.
Right.
First let's get rid of the Jews, then let's get rid of the Christians. This is of the Western world. The real fight is between Islam against the Western civilization, whether it's
absolutely
Jews or Christians. And they want Israel first, to break us first. And their next step is London, Brussels, Holland,
and
then New York. And they say it. And then New York and the United States. That is the real fight here. And it's a jihad of the Islam against the Judeo-Christian world, against Western civilization. So when I fight for my right to be in Judea, I fight for I fight and protect my brother in Tel Aviv, because if God forbid a Palestinian state is created in Judea and Samaria, what they call on CNN the West Bank, then we know that Tel Aviv is in danger.
Right.
But when I fight for my right, I don't only protect Tel Aviv, I also protect Western civilization. And therefore, the Western civilization that's finally waking up now, I understand, it might be too late in Europe, I don't know. But anybody who wants the survival of Europe as a Western country and a liberal country and a democratic country should be with us, supporting
right
us in our struggle against the creation of a Palestinian state.
Right.
And all those mistaken people who think that by tealing and by caving in to Islam in your own country and by helping them create a Palestinian state here, you are only harming yourself.
Absolutely. Nadia, listen, we're going to come right back. That was great stuff.
Okay.
That was great stuff.
And now we can order a coffee.
Can. Hey, thank you for everyone. We're going to be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back. This is Michael Gonneau with America's Web Radio, or Insight to Israel, I'm sorry, Insight to Israel on America's Web Radio. Nadia, I want to say this real quick. That last segment was fantastic. And I want to say thank you to the Jewish people. Because if it had not been for Hashem giving you Torah, I would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights.
That's correct.
I am free internally because of God, and I am liberated externally because of the Jewish people. And I want to say thank you. That is the crux of our relationship, and why, as too many people will try to put Islam and Christianity and Judaism in the same basket. It's not. They hijacked. They took from both of us and hijacked it, and then made up some kind of grand story. But aside from that, Nadia, women in green. Now, I have to tell you, I went out with you. You and
be careful. We didn't go out.
No. I apologize. Actually, if I was going to put it like that, I have to throw in Zahava Englard too.
We went out to the hilltops together where I showed you.
Careful
with your wording.
Exactly.
I am married with 6 children.
No, that's awesome. No. Zahava and I were out. You took me and showed me some fantastic stuff out there.
And so fantastic. Also, I showed you a lot of trouble that is going on there.
We did see a lot of trouble.
Yes.
And if
trouble
you want,
by the Arabs.
And it's amazing because there's a land war going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. That's what I'm very happy to talk about.
And your son, I respect, you've trained those children right. Train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it.
I hope so.
Solomon said that.
Right.
And it was awesome to see all the people out there planting olive trees. Now, you had given us the foundation. You laid the foundation for Women in Green.
With my in-laws, yes. And now, 8 years ago, I had the real incredible privilege of meeting this amazing woman, who you haven't met yet, unfortunately, Yehudit Katzover, one of the fighters for the return of the Jews to Hebron. Her husband was 20 years mayor of Hebron, of Kiryat Arba Hebron, and now we're together. We're dealing with this. We're heading this organization called Women in Green, which since 2005, we're no more into demonstrations, which we used to do for all those years, but more into safeguarding the land of the actual land
right.
On the hills in Judea and Samaria, mainly in Judea. What does that mean? If you give me a minute,
yeah.
I will explain it to you.
Yeah.
We understood after the expulsion from the Gaza Strip in 2005 that next what the enemy will want to take over is Judea and Samaria, which they call the West Bank, right? How do we protect it? How do we take it? For those listeners who don't know, Judea and Samaria is an area where you have a lot of empty land, a lot of hills, and in between you have Jewish communities and Arab villages and Arab communities. But in between you have lots and lots and lots and lots of empty land. And most of it
is state-run, correct?
Most of it is state land. What does it mean? It belongs to the state. And it's supposed to be for the future of the expansion of the Jewish communities for the next generations. But unfortunately, the Oslo agreements created a situation where Judea and Samaria have been divided into three areas, A, B, and C. A and B have been given over to the Palestinian Authority. They run it. They are there. They can do whatever they want. That is 40% of Judea and Samaria.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Area C is 60% of Judea and Samaria. And Area C includes also some Arab villages, all the Jewish communities, all the main roads, and a lot of empty land. Now, the Arabs have understood that in order to choke us and to take over Judea and Samaria, they will not be able to succeed letting the Gaza Strip where we were only 10,000 people, and I compare it to an aquarium where they took the fish out of the aquarium. It was very easy. 10,000 Jews, you put them on buses and that's it. We are, thank God, in Judea and Samaria, over 450,000 Jews.
Wow.
So, yes, we are.
Wow.
So, so how do you harm us? You can't expect that the Israeli government, even with a lot of money from America, is going to put us on buses. So they said, let's take the water out of the aquarium. You can also kill the fish by taking the water out of the aquarium.
Right.
By saying to the fish, you can stay there, we'll just take the water out. And what did they, and the water is the land in between the Jewish communities. And all of a sudden, since 2005, we see how the Arabs, who used to be here and there, some farmers with a little donkey, etc., have received funding from international anti-Israeli NGOs to help them take over Area C by taking over all the hills around the Jewish communities with the very specific purpose of choking the Jewish communities. How do they do that? And that's what I showed you on the trip. Number one, they do it with illegal Arab building.
Yep.
So, they do it with illegal Arab building. All of a sudden, you see so many, as you saw on our trip.
Beautiful homes.
Amazing Arab homes, illegally built.
Yeah.
And empty also, but they get so much money from the European Union, from Oxfam, from USAID, from all those international...
Did you say USAID?
Oh, yes, I said USAID. I have pictures that I can show you from projects that they are funding in Area C, helping the Arabs take over our land. And I want to talk especially about Area C.
Okay.
A and B, unfortunately, temporarily, is now under Arab occupation, as you said it so well, and we can't do anything. But even according to the Oslo agreements, let's play the game. Even according to the Oslo agreements, Area C should be Israeli controlled and is supposed to be Israeli controlled, even under the infamous Oslo agreements. But even that, they don't respect the Palestinian Authority and the European Union and all these organizations. And now they are helping the Arabs take over in Area C, where we are supposed to be sovereign, as many areas as they can, whether it's illegal Arab homes, whether it's illegal Arab pumping of water, whether it's illegal Arab quarries or illegal Arab agriculture planting on trees. And that is where we are involved. Women in Green is involved in trying to safeguard here and there. Unfortunately, we can't be everywhere, but we have succeeded. If you go on our website, womeningreen.org, we have succeeded. www.womeningreen.org.
And we'll repeat that at the end of
We have succeeded in returning a Jewish presence to an army base that had been abandoned and the Arabs were trying to take over. It's called Shtema. We have succeeded in safeguarding tens of acres of state land that the Arabs were trying to take over in the middle, in the heart of the Gush Etzion block. But then we realized, and I could be talking to you about that, we're talking about daily going out to the, that's what we do, Judith and I and our friends all the time. We go every day to those areas to see what damage the Arabs did if they tried to uproot our trees, and then we plant again. For every tree that they uproot, we plant two more. We go every day to the other hill. It's a daily, it doesn't get a lot of media because it's not fascinating, but
right.
We go every day to the hills to safeguard it. But at one point, 3-4 years ago, Judith and I said, okay, so we'll save this one hill, which we did, and we saved another hill, which we did. Still, Judea and Samaria is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, not compared to American sizes, but still, let's remember that Israel, which Judea and Samaria is smaller than the state of New Jersey. Some people forget that.
Yeah.
For us, it's still a large area. How can we safeguard everything? We can. We're not going to, Nadia and Women in Green and even hundreds of other members, we're not going to be able to be everywhere in Area C. And therefore, and by the way, Salam Fayyad declared at a big conference a few years ago, I don't remember exactly, I think in 2009, he said, I can't read the letter C, and I call upon the Europeans to help us fund project in Area C to take over. We will, for instance, plant 10 million trees. Meaning, they are very, very aware of this battle of Area C. Yesterday, I was asked by Al Jazeera to be interviewed on the battle for Area C. I refused to because I don't want to appear on Al Jazeera. But they are now pushing this issue as if Israel is not allowed to be in Area C, meaning they already took A and B from us, which also that I want to receive back, and now they're fighting on Area C, and people have to help us fight that battle. So how can you help us? We realize that battling here and there, another hill, another tree, we will continue doing that, and anybody who wants to plant trees is invited to be a partner and send us donations. But There is a court. How did we reach the problem? Because Israel has no Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. I don't know if your listeners know, but my status as a Jew living in Efrat is not the same status as a Jew living in Tel Aviv.
Wow.
I am, as a Jew, under military rule, while the Arabs are not. The Arabs are under the rule of what they call the Palestinian Authority, but I, as a Jew, as a so-called settler, all of us living in Judea and Samaria, we are under military rule because Israel never applied sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. And therefore, when I want to expand my house in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem or anywhere else, any city in Be'er Sheva, a person wants to put a new, expand his house, let's say, he goes to the municipality and they look and you get a permit. I have to go to the Minister of Defense, who has to personally approve whether I can, which usually I can't, even expand my own house, let alone build a new house, which we're not allowed to do so.
Wow.
So there is no, very few people know that. There is no Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. And therefore, you're holding here in your hand a new journal. We started 3 years ago, pushing forward the core issue, which is calling for the application of Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. People tell us, okay, Nadia, we understand the creation of a Palestinian state is bad. For 15 years, you've demonstrated no to a Palestinian state. But what do you say yes to? So what is your alternative as the national camp? And we finally said we have to come with what is the one and only alternative, which is application of Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. And we are now publishing this newspaper. We still believe in newspapers. People say, why aren't you not on the internet?
Yeah.
I am telling you that here in Israel, I don't know how it is in the States,
but here
in Israel, people, you can't read articles that are a little bit longer. You know, Twitter, Facebook is 2 sentences, 3 sentences. Sometimes you need to sit down and read an article to understand. And therefore, we are printing it for 100,000 copies in Hebrew, tens of thousands in English. We put it as an insert in a Hebrew paper. We were trying to raise funds to be able to have it as an insert in English into the Jerusalem Post. And that is our campaign now. And we believe that that will put pressure. We have ministers here, deputy ministers. We have Alan Baker here, the legal aspects, etc. We're also rabbis, etc. Putting pressure on our government, grassroots, as you call it, grassroots pressure on our government, that there is an alternative. We don't have to cave in. There is something else. And we are like a boat that for 20 years has been going on in one direction, capitulations to the Arabs, giving in, giving away part. That was the direction of the boat. And now we, the people on that ship, are trying to convince the captain, Captain, ahoy, turn around your ship and go towards Zionism, go towards positive building, go towards safeguarding it. So it's not going to happen right away. You can't swerve a huge ship right away.
Right.
But you have to do it little by little, and the more pressure we can put with this kind of newspaper, this kind of explanations that we put all over, the more we'll be able to succeed. I hope so. So that is our latest campaign. The battle on the ground, which is all those different hills, which I can go into details, which is a daily struggle, and the battle for the public consciousness to make people understand that there is an alternative. We have been brainwashed for so long by the Americans and by the Europeans and by our own leftist media here that the only solution is the two-state solution. That even, unfortunately, the man who used to be my hero, Bibi Netanyahu, has caved in and has unfortunately, I don't believe in his heart, he believes in it, but he's under such pressure. We have to help him change his mind. We have to help him say no to a Palestinian state. And that's what we're trying to do.
I know, absolutely. Look, anybody who doesn't get it, and trust me, let me add this as a side note. I've gotten some hate email from Americans. It's not so hateful. To me, it's hate email. But they're like, you've been brainwashed by the Zionist conspiracy theory. What people fail to understand, those people, this is biblical Zionism. This is about Jewish land. This is about Jewish state. And at the end of the day, Nadia, this is not about land. This is about a Jewish presence, period. This is about, you know, I had a lady tell me the other day. She said, Michael, they're fine with us if we live throughout the world. But let us come together. And they don't want it. That's when they have a problem with it.
if we didn't have the state of Israel, all the Jews abroad would be in real trouble.
Yeah.
Because they would be persecuted and hunted, and only because we have the state of Israel, and there is a large Jewish presence here of millions of Jews here, can the Jews in abroad even live. Otherwise, we would go back to the 1930s if we didn't have the state of Israel. So I don't accept that as all. And that lady, I wish she would come here to see it.
Yeah.
How we basically, by being here, we protect the Jews who live abroad, hopefully temporarily, till they come and live in Israel where they belong.
Wow. And, nice. I like to hear that. Wow. Come home.
Come home. And we need you. We want you and we need you. And there's a great life here. There's the days of the swamps and the I don't know what. I think that we're sitting right now in this very fancy hotel, you and I. We just have a wonderful cup of coffee. And... we have all the technology, all the modern stuff, there is nothing that I miss from living abroad. At the contrary, here we also have the values. It's not only how you live, but why you live.
Right.
And what for.
Right.
That is only here.
Right. Amazing. I've been in a fraud, and I said that earlier. I see children that, in spite of your neighbors, that have a liberty.
Definitely.
That have a liberty.
I heard that in the States you're not allowed to let your 5-year-old go to the neighbor who lives 100 meters down the street.
No.
We have no problem with doing
that. Listen, I come from a small town in West Virginia, okay? Thank God. My brother-in-law just retired after almost 35 years in the Marines. And my sister moved from Texas back to West Virginia, and they live with her temporarily till they find a home. My mother lived by herself. Widow twice. 72 years old, and I'm worried about her because I'm like, there's so many drugs.
Really?
So much drugs in my small town in West Virginia. Now, look, I'm proud of where I come from, but we have to deal with reality. And it's sad that I have to fear for my mother 6,000 miles away. But now, I've been accused of, Michael, you just think Israel's perfect. Well, I know this is not perfect.
Oh, there's certainly, we all know that we have mistakes. Also, when I came out, I had pink glasses and everything that anybody would dare to say that there's a mistake. We all know that there, and we also have problems with drug problems, and we're not going to hide that. We're not going to say that it doesn't exist here. But still, it is on a much lower scale than anywhere else in the world. And the only reason that there are problems here with drugs, etc., is because those are people influenced by the European and American Western, let's call it the Western cheap culture,
secularism,
exactly,
right.
Exactly, and the more people go back to their roots of tradition, and the less you will see such problems.
Yeah, you know, let me ask you, what do you, when you're out there?
In the hills?
When you're out in the hills and you're planting these trees. And first of all, Israel, this is amazing. So much I've learned here in a year. And it just never ceases to amaze me, to fascinate me, to make my soul refreshed. That Israel is the only country in the world that started out, that is now, at 65 years, has more trees than what it started out with.
Definitely.
And so when you're out there kissing the land and planting trees out of principle and to prosper the land, have you ever been, like, you ever get folks come out throwing rocks at you, threatening you? I mean,
Arabs?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your most extreme situation you found yourself in?
Well, I personally, we encountered, me, and again, when I say me, it's my partner, Judith Katzover, and our friends. We don't do this alone.
Right.
We can't do this alone. This is the opportunity to say thank you to all those volunteers who come with us all the time.
And I've seen them, amazing.
And you've seen them, and of course, it's not only me, it's, and to say thank you to all those abroad and in Israel who help us financially. I mean, we know that this is all, everything like that is people together, and it's not us alone at all. But it happens, it has happened that, and in fact we had an American group, AFSI, Ellen Friedman, who came out that day last year in the winter to plant, and a whole bunch of Arabs came and basically attacked us and started pushing and shoving, but they didn't know who they were dealing with.
That's awesome.
And we were not scared.
Right.
And we stood firm, and which was very, they did not expect that. And then came the army, and luckily at that point that the army was honest enough to admit that the land we were planting on was not Arabs, because
right.
they were trying to lie again, which they do very often, that this land was theirs. And they came with the maps, the army and the civil administration, which unfortunately is very often pro-Arab, but there they had been at that moment very honest, and they said to the Arabs, it's not yours, and they told them to go. But that is just one example. Lately, as you know, not me personally, but there is an increase in Arab stone throwing all
right.
over Judea and Samaria.
Right.
It is not random. It is organized. It comes from above. The Palestinian Authority, you know, gives the instruction, and that is what happens. And people have to understand what that means. To drive, just imagine, maybe if you're listening to this in the car, and you're driving, and all of a sudden, rocks. I'm not talking about pebbles. I'm talking about rocks are being thrown at you, and
from above, many times.
From above, from the side, and you very often lose control of your car. The windows splash into your face. You have little children next to you in their car seat who get completely covered, and we're not talking about the cases like Asher Palmer, who was driving last year and was attacked like that by rocks. He was with a little baby, and because of losing control of the car, he overturned and both were killed.
Wow.
And Arabs throwing rocks at Jewish drivers should be dealt with as pure terror,
right.
should be dealt with as if those Arabs are shooting at us in order to kill us, because they're throwing rocks in order to kill. And I always say that this whole intifada started because of the policy of defense. When the first rocks in 1987, the first intifada, were thrown at Jews, what did they tell us? Instead of dealing with those rock throwers like terrorists, which you know what that means,
right.
they should have dealt with the way they deal with terrorists. After the first few rocks, they wouldn't have dared to throw a rock anymore. What did they tell us? Oh, put protective windows on.
Yeah, so that.
So the next step was, during the Oslo War, as we call this, they started shooting at us. So what did they tell us? Instead of dealing with those Arabs who shoot at us
right.
like terrorists, because it wasn't no more rocks, it was shooting, and, you know, 1,500 Jews were murdered. But they were shooting
wow.
at us, so what did they tell us? Oh, go on protected bulletproof buses or put bulletproof vests. Always the opposite. Instead of dealing with the problem,
right.
you try to adjust to it, and you make things worse, because then you give appetite to the terrorists to do more. Ah! And then came the blowing up of the buses, etc., 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 till the army finally came in at the Passover of 2000, and it was called the defensive shield, or I forgot one of those things where they fought and brought the situation a little bit back to normal. But now they're starting again with the rock throwing.
I've seen that. It's funny, because I've actually traced, and correct me if I'm wrong, but since Ramadan, and they're getting bolder in the old city at the Damascus Gate.
Not only Damascus Gate, it's all over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Also in Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's amazing, because there is, unfortunately, it's in Hebrew, and I wish I could, I need to get it translated, because there's a Facebook page that they tell about attacks that occur daily that the media doesn't tell.
Oh, I'm connected to that. I get that thing. I get the daily attacks.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. How much vulgar they're getting.
But, you know, it doesn't get the media, because when a dog bites a man, it's no news.
Right.
It doesn't interest anyone.
But
when Arabs attack Jews, it's common. Oh, of course, that's the way it should be. That's the way the world accepts it. It doesn't make any news at all. But, you know, the very, very few times when God forbid, that the opposite happens, then it makes all the news and thing. And we have to remember to get upset when, you know, I said to my friend, to Yudit, I said, those guys throwing rocks, what are we, dogs? I mean, even a
right.
dog, you're not supposed to throw rocks, but why? It is an insult also to the Jewish pride and to the fact that you're a human being. You don't throw rocks at human beings.
Right.
And the fact that it has been accepted and it passes by like that so clearly, we have to, again, I always call like the ship, we have to go back to the values, to go back to teach them that this is our land and you're not going to throw rocks at us, and for every rock we will plant new trees, and for every time you attack a Jew, we will build a new Jewish communities. That's our answer. Our Zionist answer has to always be building, expanding, only positive things, to be positive and to show them in a positive way that this is our land. That is what we'll get to them in the end.
Wow. Nadia, it's amazing. While you were talking, I'm sitting here listening and thinking about things I've experienced. I've been here. I've literally gotten phone calls from friends of mine that are Israeli-born Jews, and they say, Michael, thank you. Now, everyone knows I'm not Jewish. And I'm, you know what? I'm Jewish in my heart.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I'm not, because...
Yeah, because people wouldn't listen to you otherwise.
And I had a friend of mine call me. I can't comprehend. He said, Michael, thank you for making me proud to be Jewish again. Thank you, because the media has beat... I've had soldiers cry in front of me because the media beats and beats and beats and lies and lies and caters to...
Soldiers are not... basically, the hands of the soldiers have been tied down to deal with any Arab terror and also with any humiliation. Yes, go ahead.
Muslim. Because... And the reason why... Look, I know we're in the Middle East. And I say that because we have the same problem in the Philippines right now. You have a huge Filipino community. In the Philippines right now, they're experiencing... A reflection of what you're dealing with, because the Muslims in the Philippines say we'll stop fighting if you give us a portion of land on your island.
Soon they'll do it in England too, don't worry.
I've seen videos on YouTube where they're literally chasing the police, calling them kafirs.
In London. Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And these police...
They deserve it, believe me.
Oh, exactly. You know, I'll tell you what, when I went to...
The British, we have a long history with the British, and we have to really, once and for all, tell them what we think of them.
Shocked, because, listen, research. Americans listening, research. Get it for yourself. Start reading those articles with the facts and stop getting just the blurbs, you know, the snippets. If you're hungry for truth, you will find it.
Absolutely.
You will find
it. That is a problem now, because that is a problem on the internet. I saw yesterday exactly that. You know, Danny Ayalon, when he was in the foreign ministry, made a video explaining, a YouTube video, and it's called The Truth About the West Bank. And he really gave there the real information. And yesterday, I saw how... The Palestinian Authority took that video and added two beautiful-looking young Arab Palestinians who challenged Danny Ayalon on his own YouTube video. I don't know if your son...
No. But...
And they attack him by just lying, saying, you say that there was no Palestinian state before Israel, but there's been Palestine all those years. But of course, so what is it then? Of course, if people don't know history and don't know that Palestine,
right,
the word Palestine, was invented by the Romans,
right,
after the destruction of the Second Temple, and they used it to crush the Jewish people, and they told the Jewish people, from now on, you can't call yourself Israel, you can only call yourself here as Palestina, after the Philistines, who at the time of the Romans already didn't exist. And basically Palestine for all those generations was the secular name of Eretz Israel, of the land of Israel. It was just a secular name. It was
right.
Never a state.
There's
it was
no
never
currency.
There's no state. There was no state of
right.
Palestine. There was no Palestinian people.
Right.
It was all an invention in the past 20 years, since 1970. But those bold, brazen chutzpahic girls get on that video and challenge Danny Ayalon on his real facts by spreading lies.
Right.
And if that gets on the internet, which it did, and it's spread by all the young workers, they look beautiful and they talk to him like that in a very audacious way, spreading all kind of historical lies. But if you don't know the truth and you're a student in New York or in Australia and you see this video and you get very impressed, and then you swallow those lies. So
right.
When you call to for people to learn the truth. It is so important. It is so important. There is this book called From Time Immemorial. So it's a thick book, but this is a woman who came, and she said she wanted to prove that this land belongs to the Arabs, to the Palestinians. And of course, after a 7-year research, because she was honest, intellectually honest, she came to the opposite conclusion.
Nice.
And of course understood that this was not a land that belongs to the Arabs, but only to the Jewish people. And her books were burned, and her books were put into, how do you call it, that they're calling upon people not to buy it. So yes, people, to your listeners and to anybody, learn and learn and learn the real facts.
Nadia, what's your website?
www.womeningreen.org. We have a link there to all kind of short videos. We have a link there to our new sovereignty journal. And we call upon you, of course, first of all, to help Michael Gnu with his campaigns. But if you have anything left to help us, we strongly, strongly appreciate it. And thank you very much.
Absolutely. Nadia, we want the truth, and we're going to go to your website and get it.
Okay, great.
Thank you to everyone who listened to America's Web Radio. Thank you, Nadia, for being here. I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank the Patriot Conservatives who stand for truth in the United States of America for the